just another normal day at work. Then someone walks in and the world shifts a little bit for you. That's what happened to two women you'll meet here in the Body Sphere. One who's a beautician, the other a tattoo artist.
So I had a consult booked, which is, you know, fairly par for the course in my job. And then I found out it was for a post-mastectomy tattoo upon reconstructed breasts. I mean, all my tattoos are very special, but there's a certain sort of added emotional weight to doing something that's post-surgical, I think, which affects the way somebody feels about themselves.
And later in the Body Sphere, more from the tattooist and from a woman who's had her breasts tattooed following a double mastectomy and reconstruction. Amanda Smith with you here on RN.
So you're going to put, because we've applied the black coal pencil inside, so we're going to give her maybe earthy tone.
Masarat Misbah runs a chain of beauty salons in Pakistan. Here she is teaching a makeup masterclass in Melbourne to a group of Pakistani-Australian women.
And let's see how it looks. See, the best thing about makeup is that if you don't like it, you can wash it and reapply it. You can keep
changing your appearance if you don't like it isn't always so simple as changing your makeup, though. As Masarat Misbah was brought face to face with one day at closing time at work in Lahore.
I was about to leave my salon, and just as I was leaving, a girl walked in and she was all covered up in a burqa, and she said she wanted my help. And I asked her to come, you know, the next day, and she said, no, you have to help me. And she removed her veil. And as soon as she removed her veil, I just sat down because I thought there was no life left in my legs. I saw in front of me was a young girl who had no face. There was no nose. One eye was missing. Her chin was contracted to her neck. And I said to her, what happened to you? And she says that somebody has thrown acid on her face. And she came to me because I am popular among the women for making them look beautiful. And she thought that with makeup, maybe I can change her looks and I can make her look, you know, beautiful.
This, though, it was not something that makeup or a facial thing that you do,
yes,
in the beauty
exactly.
parlor could help.
But she was from a village background, very poor. So the very next day, I let her sleep in my salon area, took her to the hospital. And then this is how the process of helping these burnt victims, acid attack victims, started. That particular incident actually changed my life, because that day when I went back home, I cried my heart out. I've been so ungrateful to God. I was never thanking Him enough for whatever He has given me. And I thought, my God, you know, I complain. And my women and my young girls who come to the salon, they complain about one pimple and grey hair and lines and wrinkle. And here was this girl, you know, who actually didn't even know how to complain. And I thought then that if I could help this girl, there may be other girls also who are suffering, and why not I help them? So I placed a small ad in the newspaper saying that if you are an acid or kerosene oil burnt victim, come to Depilix for a free medical camp.
That's the name of your salon.
Yeah, and it's called Deplex Beauty Clinic and Institute. And then I was in for yet another big surprise, because that day, 42 girls walked in.
From this small ad that you'd placed?
Yeah, just a small ad which I had placed in the Urdu newspapers, the local language. You know, those 42 girls have walked in from all walks of life, from all over Pakistan. They were young, they were old women who've been burnt, but they never got a chance to get operations done because they couldn't afford it. And then this is how I started. And in 2005, I got my charity registered. And this is how the whole thing started.
And the foundation that you established, you raise money and you arrange for these women to have reconstructive surgery?
Yeah. And on an average, one girl needs to go through 30 surgeries, 35 surgeries to look better, not even normal.
30 to 35 surgeries.
Yeah. Restoring back their skin, which is so burnt, so contractured, they can't open their mouth, they can't you know, move their neck. They can't. It's so painful. And then once their treatment starts and their eyes have opened up or their contractures have been removed, when they're released, I start training them. So then the rehabilitation part starts. I train them in any kind of skill that they want to learn or they have the aptitude to learn. Even if they want to continue with their studies and they have stopped because they were looking so disfigured and people won't accept them, it's after a number of surgeries when they look a bit normal. So we arrange for their scholarships. They can continue with the studies. Once they have learned this skill, we start placing them into different jobs also.
So some of them you've trained to work in your beauty salons, yeah?
Most of them actually. Mm-hmm. Now in different salons working as beauticians. And some of the girls who are not allowed to work outside their areas or home, I have actually arranged for them to start a small business from their houses only. So just one mirror and a chair and the product supply, and they're actually earning their living. So it's what I've learned, that training them and getting the job, their family members start loving them. It's not that they don't love them. I think they don't have the means to take care of them. They're so poor. So when they start earning, they have their respect back. Their family engage them in different activities and events. Otherwise, they were just left to rot like vegetables. And then, you know, they gain back that confidence. I mean, they can raise their voice also.
How do your clients respond to being attended to by these women?
Initially, their reaction is they're just taken aback. I think for some very odd reasons, our community, our women have shut their eyes to such cases, you know. So when these girls are actually there attending them, a girl at the reception saying, hello, how are you? And they're just shocked. Oh, my God. You know, that is the kind of reaction. And then they would say, can we have our treatments done from somebody else? And I would say, no. She said, well, sorry. I said, well, you have a choice to go elsewhere, but these girls don't have a choice. So they remain here. Now, slowly and gradually, my clients have started liking their work, realizing them that these are beautiful women. If their faces are not beautiful, that doesn't mean they're not beautiful. Doesn't mean that they don't have the feelings of looking beautiful. But now clients are respecting them. And that is the change, that this wave of awareness about this crime is so important for me, for all these girls. We have more than 627 girls registered with us.
Masrat, for what reason is it done? Why would a man do this to a woman, throwing acid on the face?
Sometimes it's dowry. If they don't bring enough dowry, they're very angry. So sometimes the girl's family would make promises and they would say that, all right, you know, let her be married off to you and we will pay you some more later on. And they're then unable to pay off. Or sometimes if they've given birth to more and more young girls.
Rather than boys.
Boys. Sometimes it's a girl refusing to marry or refusing the advances of a boy. It's nothing to do with education. It's nothing to do with religion. It's everything to do with the ego of a man.
Why in particular? I mean, domestic violence takes many forms. Why does it take this particular form of acid in a woman's face?
I think if a man is discarding a woman, he wouldn't like that any other man would accept her. So he would rather that this girl is disfigured and, you know, they would make it so difficult for that girl, and not just for that girl, but for the whole family. Availability of acid is also very, you know, it is actually so readily available. I mean, you can get it for $10 a liter and you can actually ruin somebody's whole life with that.
Masrat, did you ever imagine your life as a beautician would take this turn?
Never. I am so ashamed and I'm so regretful that why did I not see this earlier? It took me so long. And I would like to eradicate this crime before I die, because I don't want to be embarrassed in front of God or anybody else, you know, in front of my daughters, that I could and I did not. So I'm trying my best to do something to help as many women as possible.
You're listening to The Body Sphere with Amanda Smith and a program on the theme of reconstructing beauty.
मेरा नाम साबरा है और मैं पाकिस्तान के जेलम के शहर की रहने वाली हूँ.
My name is Sabra Sultana and I come from a city called Jhelum. And I got married when I was 15 or 16 years old. My parents could not give me enough dowry, so that's why I got burnt by my husband.
और इसकी वजह से उन्होंने मुझे जलाया.
Sabra Sultana is one of the hundreds of women in Pakistan who've been helped by the foundation that Masarat Misbah established. Sabra is speaking to me through translator Ayesha Bax.
Because पहले उसने मुझे मारा था.
He started beating me up and as usual, and he was beating me, then he pushed me on the wall where I broke my nose. Then he held my arm and dragged me into the room. And he threw a liquid, which I thought it was water, but it was kerosene oil, and he then lit up with fire. And that's when I realized, and I couldn't believe it because it was so painful.
तो फिर जब हॉस्पिटल में गई तो तब भी.
So I was burnt, my neck was burnt, my stomach was burnt, everything was gone, and everyone said I won't survive, even at the hospital. But it's only because of God that I've survived.
How did you come into contact with the Smile Again Foundation?
Newspaper mein dekha.
I saw an ad in the newspaper and then I went and met them.
And how did the foundation help you?
Phir jab main wapas inke paas.
So first of all, they got me treatment and then they educated me in beauty therapy. That was not an area of interest. So I requested that, and I realized, I looked around and I realized there wasn't any reduction in any of the cases. So I wanted to do something and I requested.
Reduction, as in the number of cases
wasn't dropping.
Right.
So I realized I wanted to do something and I requested if I could help them. So then I became the patient coordinator because I was one of them once and I could understand when they're on the bed what hurts. It's very important when people are negatively looking at them and asking them, what did they do to actually get this? So I start talking to her positively. I think it's a good thing I went through this because they can see me as a strong role model and that gives them strength. So that is why I wanted to become, so now I'm the patient coordinator.
इलाज भी हो गया उसके बाद फिर एक माशरे को फेस करना बहुत.
So first of all, when I had my treatment, that was the first thing. But after that, I had lost my beauty. I wasn't beautiful anymore. Not only that, I was ostracized by the society. There was a lot of social stigma. So I didn't know. I used to think a lot about my beauty gone. But then my mother supported me. And now I don't think that my face is burnt anymore. I think I have a beautiful heart. I have a big heart.
What will stop or at least significantly reduce these attacks?
Number one, ye ke,
I think having stricter laws and legislation is important. I think there isn't any law, or if there is, it's not being implemented properly. I want stricter penalties because I can give you my example. I went countless times to the courts in scorching hot weather. It wasn't very comfortable. It's not easy for a burns victim to go like that. And the judge always used to delay and then the judge used to get transferred. So something that should have taken 3 months went on for years. And in my case, the judge declared me mentally unfit. This is the reason why most people do not seek justice. They stay at home.
Sabra, can I ask you, how is your life now?
When it initially happened, I used to ask myself, why me? Why did it have to happen to me? But when I was helped by Depilek Smile Again Foundation, I saw and met other girls. And it helped me heal a lot. I realized there were others like me as well. Now, because I'm so busy helping others, I do not think of my own trauma.
Aisha, can I ask you a question now? What we're talking about is a form of domestic violence, and domestic violence happens all over the world, including, as we know only too well, in Australia. What are the links for you as a woman of Pakistani background living in Australia?
30% of Australian women face domestic violence, and 2 women a week are killed in domestic violence. I think that's not acceptable. In Australia, I have yet to come across anyone who has either not faced domestic violence or doesn't know of anyone. So we all have been affected. We all are affected. So we all should get behind this.
Aisha Bux is the Honorary Investment Consul for Pakistan in Melbourne, translating for Sabra Sultana, who as a teenager had kerosene thrown on her and set alight by her husband in Pakistan. But as Aisha Bux reminds us, domestic violence is everywhere. Sabra Sultana now works as the patient coordinator at the Depalex Smile Again Foundation, established by Masarat Misbah. There's a link to information about the foundation on the Bodysphere website. This is RN, on air, online and mobile. I'm Amanda Smith. Dabs is a tattoo artist at Darwin City Tattoos. She's got 20 years in the business, but one day earlier this year she was approached to do a kind of tattoo she'd never done before.
So I had a consult booked, which is, you know, fairly par for the course in my job, and then I found out it was for a post-mastectomy tattoo upon reconstructed breasts.
And this was a woman who'd had a double mastectomy and reconstruction, but also had scars and no nipples.
Yep. And during the consult, I viewed the reconstructed breasts to view the skin and the scar tissue and make sure that I was able to tattoo over it. And I looked at the design that Alison had brought in. I did ask her if I could have artistic license to freehand the design on so that it had a good linear relationship with the body. And she was happy with that. And it was actually a very positive consult because the design was going to work. I was able to tattoo over the skin, and I think her and I both felt very positive about it.
Tell me about the design you settled on.
It's sort of a hybrid between, well, it's sort of lotus lily, lily's lotus. I mean, they're very, very close anyway. But it basically is two lilies. It is asymmetrical because after reconstructive surgery, there does tend to be a little bit of asymmetry. So I wanted the design to actually flow with that as opposed to not. So it's basically two lotus lilies with a little bit of foliage and bud that cut the breasts like an ornamental bra.
Wow.
We were both thrilled with it. It took a lot less time than we thought. It sat on her beautifully, the design. I think she was very pleased and I was very pleased.
I guess my first reaction to the idea of having breast tattoos is that it would be incredibly painful.
Look, absolutely. I think that all tattoos are painful. I don't subscribe to the tattoos don't hurt. 20 years of tattooing and also having majority of my body, nearly all of it tattooed, I think they hurt to varying degrees for varying reasons. On the breasts, absolutely. And I think in this case, I've found now having done two, I recently did a second one, that the women are led to believe that post-surgery that they'll have virtually no sensation. This doesn't seem to be the case, but I think comparatively to what these women have suffered, I think that they are very stoic and it's probably nowhere near as painful as some of the procedures that they've undergone.
Now, as you mentioned, you've subsequently tattooed the breasts of another woman after breast cancer and surgery, a woman from Perth?
Yeah, I had a lovely woman by the name of Jan contact me after seeing the initial tattoo.
Because you put the before and after photos of Alison's breasts on Facebook, yeah?
Yeah, I asked Alison. I mean, everybody sort of signs off in our insurance forms that we can post the photos, but I think with something personal like that, I also just wanted verbal consent from her to make sure she was comfortable with it. And I posted it on Facebook, completely unaware of what the response would be.
Is this something you're perhaps going to develop a specialty in?
Oh, look, it's something I certainly hope to get to do more of. I love, you know, diversity being part of my job. I really enjoy, but if I get the opportunity to do more of these, I'll be very grateful. It's incredibly enriching to do, and a bit special to be part of, you know, something that's that important to someone. I mean, all my tattoos are very special, so I certainly wouldn't detract from anybody's experience, but there's a certain sort of added emotional weight to doing something that's post-surgical, I think, which affects the way somebody feels about themselves.
The evolution of the tattoo, Mim, in Western culture, it's fascinating, isn't it? You know, how it used to be sailors and bikies, you know, toughies, men, and then it became quite mainstream, including women. And now, with these women who've had breast cancer having their breasts tattooed, it's a kind of, I don't know, empowerment, I suppose. Is that how you see it?
I think so very much. It's very satisfying from my perspective as a tattooist, because tattooing as an art form has been around for over 40,000 years. In a number of cultures, it is matriarchal. PNG, the Mentawai Islands, parts of Borneo, parts of Timor. So I think it's good to see it finally complete the circle in Western culture, where it's not just sort of hidden in the shadows or gender specific, where it actually becomes a celebrated art form and the stigma and the taboos get stripped away and it can just be appreciated for what it is.
Mim Dabb's second client for post-mastectomy breast tattooing is Jan Rutherford. Jan's based in Perth and had her tattoos done by Mim in Darwin just last month. For Jan, this was a good end to a bad 18 months.
January last year, I got diagnosed that I had breast cancer in both. After that, I had to see like 8 different surgeons because I was having 2 teams work on me.
And that was a double mastectomy?
Yes, it was.
And so then when and why did you decide to have your post-surgery breasts tattooed?
I've already got a tattoo on the left, or had a tattoo already on the left-hand side. And with it, I just decided that I wanted to get something else done just to sort of cover up the scarring, because the scarring wasn't looking too good.
What did you think when you looked at yourself in the mirror?
I couldn't. I looked at myself once and it was like, ugh, I can't handle this. No, I just hated myself, just seeing the way I did look. So with it, a friend of mine actually posted something up on Facebook about the tattoo artist up in Darwin. Anyway, I decided I'll contact her and ask her if she'd come down to Perth, and she couldn't. So I made sure that I had the finances and I flew up there to see her. She designed a special design just for me.
So tell me about the design you have.
Well, I've got my rose that I already had there. It had my children's names through the stem. That's still there, but I got on both of them another 2 roses, pink and red. The pink was for my granddaughter that passed away 3 years ago. And then the red one is actually for my granddaughter that's nearly 2.
So there's a sort of family story that you've incorporated into your breast tattoos.
Yeah, so that the grandkids are always close to my heart.
So can you see any of the scarring now, or is it completely covered?
It's all covered. The whole lot is covered.
How painful was it, Jan? I mean, this is a lot of tattooing you had done to get all that detail and colouring across both breasts.
Oh, very painful, very. I did shed a few tears. There was a few swear words.
How long did it take?
Just over 4.5 hours in total.
So was it worth the pain?
Definitely. The way I'm looking at it is the tattooing was the sign of the last part of the journey.
So what difference has it made to the way you feel about your breasts, your body, yourself?
I'm not as angry as I was. I'm not as depressed as I was, thinking that, you know, they're gone. I'm not that female anymore. But now I feel alive. I'm out. I'm about. I have people come up and say to me, I know you. I've seen your boobs on Facebook and all this sort of thing.
And you don't mind
the tattooing?
You don't mind
No.
That?
No, I don't. I've put it all up on Facebook to get the awareness out for breast cancer.
So now when you look at your breasts in the mirror, what do you see?
A beautiful design. I look at them, I say, wow. I actually, every time I'm in the shower, and that we've got this big mirror, and I just look in it and think, wow, I'm glad I did this.
You can see Jan Rutherford's rose-tattooed breasts at the Bodysphere website if you head to abc.net.au/rn and choose the Bodysphere from the scroll-down list of RN programs. Reconstructing Beauty is the name of this edition, and if you'd like to refer it to someone else to listen to, the audio is available for download also at the website. And of course, love to have your comments. I'm Amanda Smith. And look, if you're wanting something else to subscribe to as a regular podcast, in addition to the Bodysphere, another RN program you might like is Off Track. Anne Jones is the presenter, and every episode she takes you somewhere in the great outdoors to uncover the story of the place, the people, the wildlife. Off Track with Anne Jones, you can download that from the RN website.